Hey everyone, how's it going? I hope I haven't blown your ears out, but I have learned a few things about recording, and I think I have drastically improved my audio volume. I guess not quality, really, but, well, they go hand in hand, I suppose. The only bad thing is I had these IKEA chairs that were, like, non-squeak chairs that I sit in, yet I think I've found out why they are so cheap, because I didn't, you know, break them and fall onto my ass onto the floor or anything, but I think I broke some slight little peg in there or something, so they're all rickety. I don't want to sit in them. So, long pointless story short, I'm sitting in a squeaky chair. So, here, let's see if you can. Okay, so if you hear lots of squeaking, sorry about that. You probably wouldn't notice if I hadn't said anything. And then what was the other thing? There was another thing I was going to say. Oh, well, the usual. Please review on iTunes. Very helpful when you do. Thanks to the people who have. They've been most kind, and I think it's just helping me grow, you know, in my listenership. But anyone who hasn't and is just freeloading off my hard work, you know, without reviewing it, I appreciate it. You know, other people out there who you know, who have done the reviews, you should nag the people who haven't, because I just assume that you all know each other. no, but please, that's great. It's very helpful when you do. I love it. And then also, as usual, if you want to check out my other podcast, F This Podcast, that's sort of a lighthearted comedy thing that where I make fun, me and my brother make fun of things that we find ridiculous about humans and everything, and, you know, a little different, a little change of pace from this one, so check it out if you want to, and if not, that's cool too. If you're just in for the Bible, I get you. So, Deuteronomy. We are done with Numbers, and let's just put all that behind us and go on to Deuteronomy, which I believe is Hebrew for Moses is trying to buy yet more time before the Lord kills him. Deuteronomy. Yeah, I don't know why they had that one Hebrew word that meant that, but, well, it's probably because of this, actually. But, yeah, that's essentially what's going on, because spoiler alert, all that happens in today's reading is a recapitulation of everything the Israelites have done. Again, another one, really. I'm being serious right now. I wish I was joking. I wish I was joking. Yeah, this one is the worst one yet. It's pretty long and bad, but so I don't know. I can't stop. I guess I eventually have to stop apologizing for the Bible and just, I guess it just has to take responsibility for how bad it is. You know, I can't keep apologizing for it. But anyway, enough of that. Let's get on with it. These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side Jordan, in the wilderness, in the plain, over against the Red Sea, between Paran and Tophel and Laban and Hazeroth and Dizahab. Parentheses. There are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir into Kadesh Barnea. Just a little parenthetical there, just in case you were wondering how long the journey is. And it came to pass, in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel according unto all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them. I remember what it was I was going to say. Yeah, this you may have noticed if you're keeping up that this podcast is a little late. Sorry about that. I hope no one was, like, you know, scared that I was quitting again. Or, well, I never quit, but, you know. I wish I had a better excuse, but hockey playoffs are happening, so that's sort of, it's hard to miss those hockey games I want to see. So I figured I'd do it on the weekend, and hopefully no one writes me any angry letters. After he had slain Sihon, the king of the Amorites, which dwelt in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, which dwelt at Astaroth in Edrei, on this side Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moses to declare his law, this law, saying, "The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, Ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you, and take your journey, and go to the mount of the Amorites, and unto all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, and in the vale, and in the south, and by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, unto Lebanon, unto the Gosh, I really gotta find a better place to read this, but I keep going back to the old place. So, Moses, just a little to recap while I'm just buying some time finding what the actual verse says. Moses seems to be just telling. Also, it said Moses is telling the people this, yet he said Moses a second ago, so I guess Moses is one of those people that, like, speaks in the third person, which is, must get really irritating. But yeah, so he's repeating everything that's happened. I don't know who he's talking to. Oh, unto the great river, the river Euphrates, or Euphrates? I don't know, whatever. That was the end of that verse. So I guess he's talking to, like, a gathering of people, or it possibly, once again, Moses just wrote this all in. Like, he's like, God, I need to do more summarizing. They don't know. I need four different places where they can find the same thing in the Bible, because you don't want to not be able to find what you're looking for. So I'm going to have to take another year or two, work on that, and then I promise you can kill me. I promise after that, you know, I'll go up and unto my people. But just going to get this the summer done. So, yeah, I guess he's... I just love to start a stopwatch. If assuming this is real and there are people just sitting there listening, just how long it would take people to just start asking Moses to get to the point. You know, like, he's saying all this stuff, you know, going back over all these things that everyone there, I guess, already knows about. And they're like, yeah... Okay, yeah, we remember that. Can you get to the point? What is it you're trying to? Just a minute, I'm not done, not even close. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. And I spake unto you at that time, saying, I am not able to bear you myself alone. And they're like, yeah, okay, I remember that, yeah. The Lord your God hath multiplied you, and behold, you are this day as the stars of heaven for multitude. Parentheses. The Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times so many more as you are, and bless you as he hath promised you. This end parentheses. That was just a little nice well-wishing there for that verse. I'm not sure why it's there. How can I myself alone burden bear your cumbrance, and your burden, and your strife? Yeah, people, yeah, okay, we were there, yeah, okay, I remember that, yeah. I'm not done. Take you wise men, I said, take you wise men and understanding and known among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you. And ye answered me, and said, the thing which thou hast spoken is good for us to do. So I took the chief of your tribes, wise men and known, and made them heads over you, captains over thousands, captains over hundreds, captains over fifties, and captains over tens, and officers among your tribes. So there's... I made this joke before, but captains over ten, and then there's officers, I guess, that are like the 10 people that are each officers. Like, you're an officer. Anyway. And I charged your judges at the time, saying, hear the causes between your brethren, and judge righteously between every man and his brother, and the stronger that is with him. Oh, okay, people said. Oh, okay, did you want to say something about the judgments we made? Is that what you're getting at? No, let me finish. I still have more to explain. Okay, okay. Ye shall not respect persons in judgment, but ye shall hear the small as well as the great. Ye shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is God's, and the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. And I commanded you at that time all the things which ye should do. People are really wondering when he's going to get to the point where, you know, he's. It's like when you're making a point to someone, you start building back the... You got to cover the what's going into it, the little assumptions, the little backstory, and then once you're done saying, yeah, so at the time I was doing this, and remember you were doing that, and blah blah blah, and then you say, what were you thinking when, you know, something, whatever point you're making, but these people are just in constant state of wondering when is he going to get to that second part of telling, of making a point. What is this for? And I'm there too. I'm right with them. And when we departed from Horeb, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which ye saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said unto you, if you will recall, I said unto you, ye are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord thy God of thy fathers had said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged. And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send a man before us, and they shall search out the land, and bring us word again what way we must go up, and into what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe, and they turned and went up unto the mountain, and came unto the valley of Eshcol, and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands, and brought it down unto us, and brought us word again, and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And ye murmured in your tents, and said, because the Lord hated it. They didn't know tents were basically not very soundproof back then. They just figured if they murmured inside their tent that they'd be cool. But because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt, to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us. Whither shall we go? I don't know if you guys remember all this, but this was when they were on the border of the land that they wanted to go in or whatever, and then they scouted it out and said, oh, it's a great land, but there's people there that look scary and big, and we're not going to fight. And Moses was mad because the Lord was obviously on their side, so the Lord was just going to kill them all, so I'm not sure why the idiots were worried. Anyway, whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. And people, at this point, the people sitting must have been like, oh, okay, I see what this is about. Yeah, we're still sorry about that, Moses. I understand, but, you know, I understand why you're still worried about it, but we apologized, and actually, if you recall, God had everybody involved in that little skirmish killed, you know, that little coup. They're all dead, actually, so it's kind of unfair of you to bring that up, you know, to us. Wait, Moses says, wait, I'm not done yet. I have more. I've got to tell you more. I haven't gotten to the point yet. They're like, God, really? When is he going to get to the point? Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how that Lord thy God bare thee, as a man doth bear his son, in all the way that ye went, until ye came into this place. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God. Who is he talking to? Everyone, remember, everyone was dead. That was at the time. They're all dead because the Lord was so pissed at them. What is Moses trying to accomplish right now? I wish something would have explained in the beginning of this book. Like, Moses gave the following speech to try to do what? To try to do something. I wish they had that verse, because this is frustrating. Who went in the way before you? Oh, wait, did I? Ye did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search out a place to pitch your tents in fire by night, to shew you by what way ye should go, and in a cloud by day. And the Lord heard the voice of your words, and was wroth, and sware, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land, which I swear to give unto your fathers. And then Moses, after this, was like, and that's when he killed you all. Oh, right. Oh, crap. Who am I talking to? Who are you guys? He killed everybody that I was talking about. So who? I guess you guys are just their sons. Well, I take it all back. Sorry to make you sit through that. Whoops. In my old age. You know, forget who's around, who's still alive, and who's been killed by the Lord. It's hard, in my defense, it's hard to keep track who the Lord has murdered lately. It really is. Save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it, and to him I will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. Everybody else didn't, apparently. Also, the Lord was angry with me for your sake, saying, thou shalt not go in thither. Jesus, someone at this point had to have said, Moses, can you please just get to the point of what you're trying to say? We all know our history, roughly, you know, like, what do you want? What do you want from us right now? But Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither, encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Moreover, your little one, he's talking about who he's sparing here when he back when he killed everyone. Moreover, your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. Ha! Gotcha, God! Gotcha! The children aren't to blame because, quote, they had no knowledge of good and evil, end quote. Anyone remember why this is ridiculous from, you know, maybe way back in the Genesis days? Back when the band Genesis was going strong? Adam and Eve apparently sinned enough to condemn all of humanity for the rest of time. But if you remember, their sin was that they ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So at the time they committed that sin, obviously they had no knowledge of good and evil. But somehow they were still guilty. But these children, who he just says had no knowledge between good and evil, so they're fine. They can survive. I wonder how... I mean, it's not like the... And Adam and Eve even had that stupid snake, too. So they're doubly cursed for nothing, unjustly. So that's a little contradictory. I'm going to hang on to that one for the next time someone wants to tell me about original sin. Because you heard it here, folks, in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 39. The Lord says that anyone with no knowledge of good and evil... sounds like they're fine. Sounds like they're not, you know, unless maybe somehow it's only in this one instance, but that would be kind of, hypocritical, I would think. So he, in this, verse 39, he says it's fine, but back in Genesis, it was apparently the downfall of all of humanity that we sinned, without that knowledge. So, moving on. But as for you, turn you and take your journey into the wilderness by way of the Red Sea. Then ye answered and said unto me, we have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight according to all that the Lord God hath commanded us. And when ye had girded on every man his weapons of war, ye were ready to go up into the hill. So the people they're like, they see their mistake and they're going to go fight now because the Lord wanted them to earlier. And so now they're like, you're right, we're going to go fight. And then the Lord God said unto me, say unto them, go not up, neither fight, for I am not among you, lest ye be smitten before your enemies. What the hell? So then God changed his mind or something? So the people were like, all right, God, you know, you're right. Let's go slaughter all those people. God's like, no, never mind. You don't want to slaughter those people. So if that's fine. If you don't want to, I don't want to make you do things you don't want to do. So if, go ahead and you don't have to slaughter those people. That's fine. No. We were wrong. No, we get it. Fine. God, we're with you. We want to now. Seriously, we want to go slaughter those people. You know what? We wanted to the whole time. And we just were being stubborn. So, no, it's fine. You really don't have to slaughter all those people. I mean it. Just forget it. I even brought it up, guys. Never mind. You don't have to go take their land and slaughter them. I just thought it might be nice, you know, for us to do some slaughtering together. It just seems like we don't do that anymore so much. So, but if that's not something that you want, then just fine. Just don't do it. People are like, no, we'll do it. So I spake unto you, and ye would not hear, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord and went presumptuously up into the hill. That's bad. They didn't just go up into the hill. They went presumptuously. Everybody was presuming at the time. And the Amorites, which dwelt in that mountain, came out against you and chased you as bees do and destroyed you in Seir, even unto Hormah. And again, he's destroyed you. Like, that's not a sentence you can have unless you're in heaven or something, because the people you're talking to obviously weren't the ones who were destroyed. They seem to be living, although they're this close to being destroyed from boredom, from listening to your story. And you returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord would not hearken to your voice, nor give ear unto you. So ye abode in Kadesh many days, according unto the days that ye abode there. On to chapter 2. And it doesn't get much better, unfortunately. Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me. And we compassed Mount Seir many days. And the Lord said unto me, saying, Ye have encompassed this mountain long enough, turn you northward. And command thou the people, saying, Ye are to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you. Take ye good heed unto yourselves, therefore. Meddle not with them, for I will not give you of their land. No, not so much as a foot breadth, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for possession. And ye shall buy meat of them for money, that ye may eat, and ye shall also buy water of them for money, that ye may drink. For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing, including boredom. And when we passed by from our brethren the children of Esau, which dwelt in Seir, through the way of the plain from Eloth and from Ezion-Geber, we turned and passed by the way of the wilderness of Moab. And the Lord said unto me, Distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in battle, for I will not give thee of their land for possession, because I have given Ar unto the children of Ar. Is that Ar? Is that the name of the land? Anyway, I have given Ar unto the children of Lot for possession. The Emims dwelt there in times past, a people great and many and tall as the Anakims. Is there still anyone listening to Moses at this point? He must be. I think what's happened is he's gone blind in his old age, and everyone actually just left hours ago. He's just let him just go, just quietly. Everybody be real quiet, just back up slowly, and we'll all leave. And he goes on for days like that. He doesn't stop, just, but if nobody make any noise, otherwise he'll know and he'll round us back up, okay? Yeah. Which also were counted giants as the Anakims, but the Moabites call them Emims. Now this is important, guys. Write that last bit down. It's going to come into play. The Horims dwelt in Seir before time, but the children of Esau succeeded them, and when they had destroyed them from before them and dwelt in their stead, as Israel did unto the land of his possession, which the Lord gave unto them. Now rise up, said I, and get you over the brook Zered. And we went over the brook Zered. It's very exciting storytelling. And in the space in which we came from Kadesh Barnea, until we were come over the brook Zered, was 38 years, until all the generation of the men of war were wasted out from among the host, as the Lord sware unto them. For indeed the hand of the Lord was against them to destroy them from among the host until they were consumed. I just realized, just reading this now, if I were an Israelite among all those people during this time, and these are the people who he decided, I don't know if you remember, wasn't that long ago, he's already summing it up. God decided everyone was going to die, that nobody who was currently then alive, except for like two people, were going to get his holy land. So he had them wander in the forest for 40 years until the older ones died off, I guess. And I think if I were one of those Israelites, I would have been like, look, God said he's going to make us wander in this desert until all of us who disobeyed him die. So do you guys want to just kill ourselves? I mean, it's going to save everybody else a lot of time. At least a solid, 20, 30 years of wandering if we all just kill ourselves. I mean, I'm just trying to be practical and think for the group. He doesn't often go back when he's decided to kill somebody, so let's just kill ourselves. Who cares? It's either that, okay, either we kill ourselves now or we wander for 40 years and then die. I think I'll be in the suicide tent. So it came to pass, when all the men of war were consumed and dead from among the people, that they're all dead, that the Lord spake unto me, saying, Thou art to pass through Ar, the coast of Moab, this day. And when thou comest nigh over against the children of Ammon, distress them not, nor meddle with them, for I will not give thee of the land of the children of Ammon any possession, because I have given it unto the children of Lot for possession. Another parenthetical here. Ooh, this is a parenthetical that's 4 verses long. That also was accounted a land of giants. Giants dwelt therein in an old time, and the Ammonites called them Zamzumims, a people great and many and tall, as the Anakims, but the Lord destroyed them before them, and they succeeded them and dwelt in their stead. Still parenthetical here. As he did to the children of Esau, which dwelt in Seir when he destroyed the Horims before them. And they succeeded them and dwelt in their stead unto this day. And the Avims which dwelt in Hazarim, even unto Azah, the Kaphtorims, which came forth out of Kaphtor, destroyed them and dwelt in their land. End parentheses. Just so you know. Just FYI. Rise ye up and take your journey and pass over the river Arnon, because, behold, I have given into thine hand Shihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven, who shall hear report of thee, and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee. And I sent messengers out of the wilderness of Kedemoth unto Sihon, king of Heshbon, with words of peace, saying, Let me pass through thy land. I will go along by the highway. I will neither turn unto the right nor to the left. Thou shalt sell me meat for money that I might eat, and give me water for money that I might drink. Only I will pass through on my feet, parentheses, as the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and the Moabites, which dwell in Ar, did unto me, and parentheses, until I shall pass over Jordan into the land which the Lord our God hath given us. But Sihon, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass by, for the Lord thy God hardened his spirit, and made his heart obstinate, that he might deliver him into thy hand, as appeareth this day. Okay. How roundabout was that? So God is telling the Israelites that they need to kill this king and all his people, but then he has them send out this really kindly, politely worded letter, just totally making peace. And then he makes sure that God, he makes sure that the king won't listen to it. So what, wasn't that kind of a waste of paper? What was the point? Why, so like the paper trail would show that the Israelites did their due diligence? Did God forget that he was going to write it down in his eternal book for everyone to see anyway? If God is really all powerful and tells you to do something, who cares? Why do you need to feign like you're going to be polite? Be like, oh, we're just going to walk through your land, and then have God like get him to be mad. It's just weird. Why don't you just write a threatening letter and just fight? It'd be easier. And the Lord said unto me, And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have begun to give Sihon and his land before thee. Begin to possess it, that thou mayest inherit his land. Take preparations. Begin to possess his land. I don't know what that means. Then Sihon came out against us, he and all his people, to fight at Jahaz. And the Lord our God delivered him before us, and we smote him and his sons and all his people. And we took all his cities at that time, and utterly destroyed them, the men, and the women, and the little ones of every city. We left none to remain. Remember that? Yes, we killed everybody, including all the women and children. Boy, I miss those old massacring days. Only the cattle we took for a prey unto ourselves, and the spoil of the cities which we took. From Arar, which is by the brink of the river of Arnon, and from the city that is by the river, even unto Gilead, there was not one city too strong for us. The Lord our God delivered all unto us. Only unto the land of the children of Ammon thou camest not, nor unto any place of the river Jabbok, nor unto the cities in the mountains, nor unto whatsoever the Lord our God forbaddeth. So that's the end of chapter 2. Very exciting stuff. And Moses, who is still talking, apparently. Then we turned and went up the way to Bashan, and Og the king of Bashan came out against us, he and all his people, to battle at Edrei. And the Lord said unto me, Fear him not, for I will deliver him, and all his people, and his land into thy hand. And thou shalt do unto him as thou didst unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, which dwelt at Heshbon. And you all remember what happened to Sihon, the king of the Amorites. He was Sihon, the king of being killed by the Israelites after that. So the Lord our God delivered into our hands Og also. And he named him Og to begin with, which was the first sign. The king of Bashan and all his people, and we smote him until none was left to him remaining. And we took all his cities at that time. There was not a city which we took not from them. 60 cities, all the region of Argob, the kingdom of Og and Bashan. All these cities were fenced with high walls, gates, and bars, besides unwalled towns, a great many. I don't know why that is important. And we utterly destroyed them, as we did unto Sihon, king of Heshbon, utterly destroying the men, women, and children of every city. But all the cattle and the spoil of the cities we took for a prey unto ourselves. And damn it, was that fun. And we took at that time out of the hand of the two kings of the Amorites the land that was on this side Jordan from the river of Arnon unto Mount Hermon. Which, which Hermon the Sidonians call Sirion, and the Amorites call it Shinir, and parentheses, just to let you know. All the cities of the plain, and all Gilead, and all Bashan, unto Salchan and Edrei, cities of the kingdom of Og and Bashan. I don't know what that sentence just was, that had no complete thought. For only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnants of giants. Behold, his bedstead was a bedstead of iron, which apparently means something. Because if he had a bedstead of, like, copper, then he's not as tough, apparently. It is not, is it not, in Rabath of the children of Ammon? 9 cubits was the length thereof. Oh, well, that is just BS. There's no way he was 9 cubits long, and 4 cubits the breadth of it after the cubit of a man. And this land which we possessed at that time from Aroer, which is by the river Arnon, and half Mount Gilead and the cities thereof, gave I unto the Reubenites and to the Gadites. And the rest of Gilead and all of Bashan, being the kingdom of Og, gave I unto the half-tribe of Manasseh. All the region of Argob, with all Bashan, which was called the land of giants. Jair, the son of Manasseh, took all the country of Argob, unto the coasts of Geshuri and Machithi, and called them after his own name, Bashan-Havoth-Jair, which was a terrible name, unto this day. And I give Gilead unto Machir, and unto the Reubenites, and unto the Gadites, I gave from Gilead, even unto the river Arnon, half the valley, and the border even unto the river Jabbok, which is the border of the children of Ammon, the plain also, and Jordan, and the coast thereof, from Chinnereth, even unto the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, under Ashdoth Pisgah, eastward. And I commanded you at the time, I clearly remember, saying, The Lord your God hath given you this land to possess it. Ye shall pass over armed before your brethren, the children of Israel, all that are meet for war. But your wives and your little ones and your cattle, parentheses, for I knew that ye have much cattle, in parentheses, shall abide in the cities which I have given you. Because if they only had a little bit of cattle, would have been fine. Those guys would have been marching to battle with them. Cattle warriors, but since they had much cattle, they might as well just stay home. Until the Lord hath given rest unto your brethren, as well as unto you, and until they also possess the land which the Lord your God hath given them beyond Jordan, and then shall ye return every man unto his possession, which I have given you. And I commanded Joshua at the time, saying, Thine eyes have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto these two kings. So shall the Lord do unto all the kingdoms which thou passest. Yet ye shall not fear them, for the Lord your God, he shall fight for you. And I besought the Lord at the time, saying, O Lord God, thou hast begun to shew thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand, for what God is there in heaven or on earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? God said, well, there's a few, to be honest with you, but they sure as hell are not wasting their time on you guys. So really, I'm the best God you're going to get. You know, until you shape up your acts. So, yeah, go ahead and appreciate me. I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain in Lebanon. But the Lord was wroth with me. This is Moses. He's telling these people about the little disagreement he and the Lord had. But the Lord was Davidly wroth with me for your sakes, and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, Let it suffice thee. Speak no more unto me of this matter. Get thee up unto the top of Pisgah, and lift up thine eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward, and behold it with thine eyes, for thou shalt not go over this Jordan. That was kind of a bitchy thing to do. Take a good look, Moses, because they're not going to get this land. But charge Joshua, and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. So we abode in the valley over against Beth Peor. End of chapter. Sort of an abrupt ending. Yeah, I once again have to apologize on behalf of God. His book did not deliver this particular reading. That's the end. I really hope Deuteronomy turns out to be something. But good news is Deuteronomy is the last Moses book, I think. So that should hopefully change things up. I just would rather anything happen besides just telling what's already happened. If there is, I'm telling you guys now, if there is a chapter that repeats the whole ark building part, like just remember when you guys put this piece of tinsel on the ark there and didn't measure out 2 cubits of that thing, you know, if there's something like that, I'm quitting. I'm quitting. Friggin' am quitting this book if that happens. This is already bad enough. But if he ever, ever repeats the building of the ark again, I am out. See you guys later. I am just done at that point. So, yeah, that was not very exciting. But hopefully it'll get better, and I will be on time next week, I believe. So, yeah, I'll see you guys next week.